Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today, and thanks for tuning in. Joining me today is one of the most customer-centric people I know in the SAP SuccessFactors space, Sherry Ann Meyer from Rising HCM. Sherry and I have known each other for many years, and actually a fun fact is that I became an ASUG volunteer because of Sherry, which I still am today. In the past, she worked with ASUG as an HR transformation strategist and community advocate, so always advocating for the customer. And prior to that, she was a customer herself. So certainly a great perspective that I'm looking forward to kind of getting out today. Welcome, Sherry.
Thanks, Imran. Happy to be here. Fun fact from my side, I read one of the blogs you wrote on the SAP community space and was like, this guy has to volunteer with ASUG.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, and it's so helpful, and always talking to customers and being involved in that networking, I think it's helped me tremendously, so I appreciate that. All right, so you recently published your ebook, which is Rethink, Reimagine, and Redesign Payroll with SAP SuccessFactors. It's very, very exciting. I certainly know the journey of writing a book and all the hurdles that you get along the way. So first and foremost, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know there was a lot of research you did, and it was many months and many conversations in the making. Can you start by telling me a little bit about everything that went into writing your ebook and some of the things that were covered in the book?
Sure. Well, if I can narrow it down to three things that were involved in writing, it was really my own experience, shared expert knowledge, and research and validation. I have, as you mentioned, a pretty strong background in processes for HR, payroll, and time management. And that certainly plays a lot into what I put into the book from a customer perspective, but also, you know, through community collaboration and connections over the years with organizations like SAP and you, but also independent organizations like SHRM and IRM, the Independent International HR Information Technology Management Group. That's a mouthful. And ASUG, the America's SAP Users Group. I met a lot of different people who had a lot of different perspectives and were doing things a lot of different ways. You know, sometimes when you work for one company for a long time, you can think that there's only one way to do it, but there isn't. And then research and validation. I relied on a lot of independent validated resources for metrics and for current experiences, always second guessing myself to make sure that I was still current on the issues, concerns, and strategies. And some of those were the Sierra Cedars annual survey and SAP Insider, who does a lot of surveys throughout the year. They were two of the foundations for input into the report. And it's important to me to be factual, but balance that with experience and real world insights. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting in the ebook is that I look at the results of the survey in Sierra Cedar, and I imagine that those results are going to be different next year just because of post-COVID. What's it going to look like? There's not a lot of people looking at insourcing versus outsourcing. The amount of people climbing into cloud is growing, but will that look a lot different? What are you hearing, Imran?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the interesting thing is that we're actually getting into a lot of conversations with companies that are looking to do payroll different and better. And this tends to always start with the question of, okay, we currently either insource or outsource. So what should we do? And so I'd like to start our conversation there, continue it anyways. When you look at this question in 2020 with the latest technology, from my perspective, the dynamic of outsourcing is something that really has the potential to change for the better with technology. Most of our customers who run payroll in-house, I would say that they tend to prefer that. But from an SAP perspective, we're getting a lot of partners around the world that are interested in using our software to provide outsourcing services with EC payroll, especially since they don't have to own and run the infrastructure side. It makes it a lot easier for them too. When you look at outsourcing providers in the past, it was always big companies with deep pockets, and that was because of the cost of entry, right? Standing up all this infrastructure and things like that. But now with the dynamics of the cloud, we're starting to see niche players enter, and many of them are really great, and they really care about the customers, and they're focused on the customer satisfaction, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The term outsourcing means something a lot different today than I think we might have imagined 5-10 years ago. It's a different customer experience, you said. How so? What are some of the ways that customer experience could be different?
Yeah, for sure. So when you look at it historically, it's always felt that organizations that outsource are almost like throwing HR time and benefits data over the fence to their outsourcer. And that organization then takes that and runs their payroll and pays their people and the vendors and all those other things. But it wasn't really a partnership, and the company didn't have any kind of visibility into what their payroll looked like until afterwards, really. And so I'm sure I don't have to tell you about it, though, because you've lived it, you've been there. But when I look at the tools available now for SAP SuccessFactors with Employee Central Payroll and Payroll Control Center, I really think the dynamic can be different. So what if you outsourced payroll, but you still had visibility into your payroll with display access to our Payroll Control Center? And if it was already in the Employee Central landscape that you're already using for your HR, what if you knew the total gross and net amounts at any time because you could go in there and look at it? What if you had a visibility in the number of alerts that your outsourcer is working on? And really, if that was more of a partnership where you're working together to make payroll accurate and successful, as opposed to how it's been, you know, and then, you know, with your customer centric background, how do you think a company should make that decision?
Well, first of all, let me say that Payroll Control Center is definitely a game changer, and anyone out there who hasn't tuned into that yet or figured out how to do it should definitely look into it. It eliminates a lot of the manual steps that you're probably doing today. And as you said, transparency. But let me answer your question on my views on outsourcing. I should start by saying that as a customer working at a Fortune 500 company years ago, I did work with a major outsourcing solution into which I was dragged kicking and screaming. So I'm not necessarily a fan of outsourcing as a panacea for all ills. If you do enter into any type of outsourcing arrangement, I think it really, as you said, has to be a partnership. And whether or not you outsource is really an individual decision. It's based on your organization's profiles, what talent you have inside, the financials, your long-term goals. Increasingly, as I meet customers throughout my network, not just necessarily through Rising, but my broader network of organizations with whom I participate, customers are arriving at a place where they have a partnership with a third party that's value added, but that's not necessarily for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, one of the things that I think is interesting about this pandemic is a company that I worked in the past, right, they insourced payroll, but it was always a challenge for them because they insisted on their payroll team being on site. And so they always had the hardest time finding good talent that was able to, you know, manage and run their payroll. Right. And so I think that is one of the things that has the possibility and dynamics of changing. Given the pandemic and everyone working remotely, now that same company could really find talent anywhere, and I think they'd be far more open to it. So
yeah,
side thoughts, sort of. But you had an entire section about insourcing payroll versus outsourcing in your ebook, and you really dug into the factors that a company needs to look at when making that decision. I know the first thing that people think when they hear from someone who works at a consulting company like you do is that they have a biased perspective, that they're either trying to get someone to implement payroll, so they're leaning more toward insourcing, or they're trying to sell me outsourcing services, so you might have a skewed angle. Well, in this case, your company offers both services, so I think it's fair to say you weren't skewed in one direction, and on top of that, you listed some of your independent research and the organizations that you specifically looked at. So appreciate that, the factual aspect of that. Can you tell us a little bit about the factors in the decision to insource versus outsource, things like the frequency of pay, number of checks, number of off cycles, the complexity of your rules, caring about data ownership, and all the factors that contribute to why a company might lean one way or another. I know we talked about it being more personalized than that, but you know, still cost factors there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Having been inside a company where these types of decisions were being made, Imran, I don't think companies look enough at the total cost of their ownership of their payroll. They'll often look at, hey, look, we only have one headcount running payroll. That person knows what they're doing. We know payroll's getting out the door. Let's not rock the boat. But I think if you dive a little deeper, there's a lot that goes into getting paychecks out the door that could be done better. And to really determine the value of insourcing versus outsourcing the payroll process, you have to look at what makes sense for your company. Again, it's personal, as I always say, from both a culture and an employee engagement perspective. And Imran, you mentioned the complexity of rules, and boy, have I lived that nightmare. But to really understand how complex the rules are may take some digging. That may not be apparent on the surface when, you know, leadership looks at your payroll system. Yep. I found that often the written rules are what they are, and what is actually being done in practice can be a lot different. And I'm not the only one that's had that experience from talking to other people. Long-term in-house staff can be very protective of their processes. They're very proud of their work and they want to get it out the door right. So sometimes things are being held together with tape and rubber bands and you don't know that. And regional offices can be applying pay rules differently from what is actually documented. So you have to ask a lot of questions to really get at what your rule complexity is and are you doing things correctly. It's definitely impacted by unions or by unique hourly pay requirements that were traditionally created to prevent unionization. So what I mean by that is there's some hourly pay requirements I've seen that literally were put into place because they wanted to prevent a union from coming on site. And they're equally as complex as some of the union pay requirements. And the other thing we've seen is that we've learned so much about payroll as time has gone on, technology has improved, that there can be a payroll system out there that's just a weak payroll implementation where standard processes were bypassed in favor of this is the way we do it.
Right.
That mentality created many a complex system to maintain, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that there's beyond the rule complexity, you can also take a look at some metrics. And I know, you know, CFOs always like to see that. And some of those things are frequency of pay. How often are you actually running a payroll process? There's some old processes out there that are hard to eradicate. You know, maybe you're running three payroll processes a week and you could streamline that.
Yep.
And usually, as you said before, there's someone staying on site in the office late at night to make sure these payroll processes run. The number of off-cycle payments. Errors usually result in off-cycle payments. So that metric could be a good indication of how well your payroll process is actually working or not working. And where there are errors, there are other financial implications, overpayments or the risk of fines. So all those things have to be taken into account when you look at your total cost and exposure in payroll. And then combine those two metrics with the number of employees. Obviously, volume of paychecks makes a difference in the complexity and the cost of your payroll system. But a simplified system can fix the first two metrics and reduce the costs. Now, the other thing is where you run payroll makes a difference. If you're a global company, that idea of localization, understanding local payroll regulations and being able to maintain the rules for processing according to those regulations in that country can be a huge burden on a multinational company. Often there may be one person in each country who knows all the ins and outs of that country's payroll. And then what happens when that one person becomes sick or retires? Retroactive pays, this is a big area. Can your current payroll system handle these? In my experience, it takes quite a bit of payroll and system knowledge to ensure these are understood. But if your system is constructed correctly, you know, SAP can handle retroactivity quite nicely. How often that retroactivity occurs, though, impacts the cost of your payroll processes. So in your evaluation of in-source versus outsource, this is another important data point. And last but not least is the hardware and the infrastructure. If you're running your payroll in-house on your own servers, this is a huge cost to manage. And I'm not talking just about the cost of the physical assets, the physical infrastructure. I'm talking about the manpower to manage payroll and tax updates and to ensure servers are properly load balanced, that you have enough resources to manage peaks and volume. So it takes quite a bit. I know that you talk to a lot of customers, though, Imran, and prospects, including net new customers. Can you give me some insight on what you've learned when you talk to a net new customer? What are they talking about going from an outsource model to an in-source model?
Yeah. So I talk to a lot of companies that run payroll in-house, and so those are your typical SAP customers, and many are satisfied with that decision. They have it down to a science, and they do it really well. In some cases, it might be that payroll person you talked about at night doing that and delivering it, and you know that's a different story. But on the flip side, when I talk to a company that has typically or historically outsourced their payroll, they don't typically look at payroll and say, you know, that's the function that I think we want to take and bring in-house ourselves. In many cases,
if it's not broke, don't fix it.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. In many cases, they are coming from a legacy vendor, and then they've found them difficult to work with or have had issues with accuracy or compliance, and now they're looking at doing things differently and improving in that area. So some outsourced vendors are known for nickel and diming. You have situations where a provider will make a mistake resulting in a payroll issue, and that results in employee dissatisfaction. And then they will have to run an off cycle to make that correction. You kind of mentioned that earlier. A lot of the metrics for off cycles are because some issue happened. And so you run these off cycles, and then that same vendor will charge the customers for that, which is understandably frustrating for the customer because they're faced with an increased cost while still getting a dissatisfied employee at the same time. Another common complaint in the typical outsource model, right? Because we talked about how it could be different, but in this case is data ownership and wanting to get payroll data out of the system. So this has actually resulted in a handful of companies that have come to us and told us they want to separate their technology purchase from the vendor service. So we actually have had customers that will buy EC payroll from SAP, from us, and then bring in a vendor to provide services on their ECP landscape. So they own that. And it ends up being two contracts, one with SAP and one with the partner, but it gives them the flexibility in that they could replace their payroll service provider without having to re-implement payroll. And then they're using a proven technology used by companies around the world where they can feel confident in the scalability if they grow, as well as the support and not necessarily being tied to one service provider, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. And I do think that, you know, the payroll is not a black and white decision. There are certainly a lot of variations in how you can do payroll beyond cloud versus on-premise, in-source versus outsource, because you can have partial outsourcing for things like check printing or tax filing or garnishment. It's not all in one and done. And as you mentioned, the licensing issue, where are you licensing your software, where are you licensing your service and support can be two different licenses. And it's all about where you think you're going in the future. And this is really where I always maximized my connections through ASUG and IROM and LinkedIn. It's vital to have a variety of points of view. And I don't think you realize that until you really start talking to people or listening to shows like this, Imran. It's really important to understand more than the technology, but to understand your own organization's future and what you want employee engagement experience to look like. And you get those ideas from talking to other customers and other partners.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that an open dialogue and talking to others is extremely helpful, especially as you make a key decision for your organization. Because like we said, it is a personal choice, and it's certainly not black and white, right? You definitely talked about beyond just in-source, outsource. There's subsets of that, and it's a lot for a person to take in. So, you know, the more you can talk and network with organizations like ASUG and the other ones that you mentioned, it's more helpful. All right. Well, this was a very enlightening conversation that I very much enjoyed. Thanks for your detailed thoughts and perspective and joining me today. The ebook and other relevant materials are included as links because there's a lot more details in the ebook. You know, this conversation kind of scratched the surface of that. So we have included that as links in the podcast details for those that are interested. Looking forward to the next one. And thanks again for joining me, Sherry. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Imran.